The point is that there's some games you don't get to play unless you're all in. So I think you might as well play the most magnificent game you can.
Snap to A-Rod, looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep. It is caught for a touchdown! Yes! A miracle!
Yes! Catch. Yes! Can you believe it?
Unbelievable!
Believe it!
You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
And the Saints keep marching in. Holy shit, man. They are for real. Pat, can you believe this? Week two is come and gone, man. And we've got another doozies. We got a lot of injuries. But we got the Saints. Who day? Who dat? Who dat?
Who dat?
I always get the who day and who dat confused. Just, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't know who's still
right.
I don't know what team still what from who. But like, shit, come up with something different. Not like a who day, who dat. But who dat, Saint Nation. Powering through, man. Your thoughts, brother?
It's starting to look like it's a real deal team, and they're here to stay. Especially after the performance they put against the Cowboys. So let's see, man. Let's see if they can keep on rolling, keep the momentum going.
In Jerry's world, too. I mean, they put a beat down on the star. Old men at bay. What's up, everyone? Thank you for joining us, and welcome to All In Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dennis. You can follow me at Fantasy Matt EFN. As always, my co-host, my partner, my brother in crime, Pat Wendelken. You can follow him at CityStars136. Pat, how was your week?
Good, man. Everything goes good. The weekend flies by, and it's already before you know it. You know, it's just
how'd
like...
your teams do? We'll talk about your real team here in a second throughout this process. But
so I'm gonna go. I'm like 75% wins. I'm gonna go with on this one. Oh no, 75. I have special coffee lotion from Edna on me. So my hands and face smell like all this. I'm like, what the hell is this lotion all over me, bro?
Got it. The mic caught you sniffing. You know, he's checking out.
I smell like fresh cocoa right now.
Fresh cocoa. Yeah, dude. Your team's fared a lot better than mine did. My teams were ass, I'm not gonna lie, this week. Probably one of the worst performances that I've had in the 4 years that I'm probably new in dynasty football. Like I said, 25 leagues. I have not had this bad a performance that I can recall. So I'm hoping, knock on wood, man, it's a little blip in the road. You know what I was seeing though, Pat? I was listening to the podcast, and they were saying that this is in total the NFL. Has had the least amount of passing yards since 2017-ish.
Wow.
It's huge. So it kind of reflects a lot on what we talked about from a wide receiver perspective, on a tight end perspective. Running backs are dominating as far as fantasy points. It's kind of going back to what it used to be where, you know, when you draft, you know, stud running back and you wait until round 8 or 9 to get your secondary running back, you're pretty much screwed, which is kind of what's happened in a lot of my dynasty leagues. And I think that kind of shows – you know, the whole wide receiver push that we've been talking about, and you know, I specifically been talking about it and actually, you know, preach and implement kind of shows that's why I'm probably struggling with a little bit, because the running backs are just dominant, dude. It's
yeah, man. Those anchor running backs are actually showing to prove pretty strong this year for the most part, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, all running backs. And I think when we've gone for the stud wide receivers, and, you know, we'll get through injuries, plays a big part in it. But I mean, if you go through some of the stud wide receivers that are currently injured, not performing, stud tight ends that you might have drafted early, third, fourth round that aren't showing up at all, stud quarterbacks, which are questionable. We'll talk about some of those as well that are duds and turds. Kind of like all those go in tandem. You got quarterback, wide receivers, tight ends that aren't performing. You know, the only ones who truly are a lot of times, I'm not saying, you know, holistically, but in general, majority of them are not for where we drafted them, you know, and it almost looks like we should have drafted more running backs, probably running back 12 instead of, you know, wide receiver 18, like we did, you know, instead of grabbing for the wide receiver 18, grab a running back 12. So,
let's be real, those top 4 or 5 tight ends have not shown up to play either.
That's what I'm saying. But that's, again, it goes back to the passing game, though. So again, it, all those are tied together. The you know, tight ends, the wide receivers, quarterbacks that aren't underperforming. They're all kind of hand in hand. And, you know, we talked about it in week one and we said, you know, chalk it up to not having preseason, but maybe it's just offenses changing their schemes and trying, you know, as they're seeing defenses now react and cover, you know, take away deep passes. You know, you're getting very short passes and passes that you're getting in a lot of games, you know, so starting to run the ball more to open up for the pass. So I think you're kind of seeing a little bit of a shift back to what it used to be, at least, or more balance, probably. Maybe not what it used to be being so run heavy, but just a little bit more balance than what we've seen in the past few years. So it's been interesting, sure, man.
I like it, though. But Matt, we got a lot to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about.
Meat wagon's been heavy, bro, with all these people either not making it to the game or getting hurt in the game. So it's pretty brutal, man.
Fake Dr. Pat will run us through the injuries. I'll just kind of sit quiet like we did last time, and there's a lot. So rip through, man.
All right. So I'll just start real quick. CMC is set to come back. They're saying looks like week 7 now, Matt. So get comfortable with Mason in the spot. He's doing just fine where he is, but he's looking week 7. A.J. Brown out for a few weeks is looking like now his hamstring.
That was crazy.
Yeah, man. So it kind of stinks for us right now. I mean, you know, I had Devontae Smith, so I kind of, you know, it benefits me, but hurt a lot of people I saw. Just an update. Puka's looking at, he's going to be back around that 5 to week 7, more towards week 7 range where he's at. Debo Samuel, another one hit on it. Calf injury.
Yep.
That's huge, bro. Out a couple weeks for sure. Cooper Kupp, IR, they have not set any timeline for him to come back yet, so he's back on there. Joe Mixon's being evaluated for his ankle, and he's a big part of that offense. They need him mightily over in Houston. Kenneth Walker was out this weekend with an oblique injury. He's got to keep an eye on that also this week. Charbonnet did okay. He helped out.
Yeah.
You know, so he carried the workload. Raheem Mostert, the Toasters, out most likely again. So, Achan's going to be there, so like rock with him. T. Higgins is questionable for this week. The hamstring was bothering him again, so he sat out again this past weekend. He traveled, did not play. So we'll see if he makes it this next week, you know, this coming Sunday. I don't know yet. There's no word. He just like last time, he's a game time kind of decision. You know, he was warming up and didn't play. This one, some people got illegal lineups in a couple of leagues I was in. Evan Ingram was like a last minute scratch during the warmups, hamstring.
Pulled it.
Boom.
Yeah.
Out. Yep. So he's week to week right now. They haven't given any timeline, no IR or anything. But do note, another one you got to watch out for. Keenan Allen.
Well this question. Is where, let me just jump in. I don't know. I wanted to rip through it. But what people don't realize this, if you haven't noticed it already in week 3, so Sleeper is implemented where you can do a swap. So you can tag somebody as being designated pull or a backup in case somebody does have an issue like this. So if you're in NFL leagues and Fantrax leagues, they've been doing this for a couple. I think Fantrax specifically, they've been doing this for a couple of years. So Sleeper does also offer it too. Before the game starts, you have to designate who you want to tag in case there's an injury and you're not really sure, and who you want to replace him with. And if something like Evan Ingram, if you know him, like, hey, there might be a chance, and you tag him, it would automatically replace him with whoever you tag. You can only pick one player. So sorry to interrupt
that's,
that, but I,
no, that's
I think
cool.
it's,
that's
it's,
super
it's
important.
New this year, and a lot of people don't know about it. So I just wanted to highlight that.
I learned something. Keenan Allen with the heel, he was out this weekend and questionable again. But they're having struggles anyway, man. They have that quarterback issue. So,
dog
I mean,
shit.
I don't think he's in a rush. Looks like Tua should be out this weekend. I hope he's out this weekend. Let him reevaluate his life and everything else that he's got to go through with his concussion shit. So, he's questionable.
He's been quoted. He does not want to retire. He wants to play. He wants to continue playing.
He's still questionable for this week after what happened.
No,
so we'll see how that goes. Hollywood Brown out for the season. He's done.
Didn't even play a fucking snap, dude. That's so nuts. Everybody was like, oh, hype him, drafted him, didn't even make it into your lineup once. Nuts.
Yep. Isaiah Pacheco, broken fibula. He'll be out for a couple weeks. I think they said looking about week 7 also.
Did you see what happened on that? Did he get kicked in the leg? I know you're watching the game.
Can I be honest with you? That's part I missed. Everyone was like, I watched every part of the game, but for some reason I wasn't even like, I must have either went to the bathroom.
Was it noticeable on the play though? Because again,
I didn't see anything. It didn't look like extreme or any of those gory, gruesome things. So I was like, all right, but
not like a compound fracture, just like a stress fracture.
Yeah, no, nothing crazy. No, thank God. So he's out for people are dropping like flies. This one's
this is week 2, bro. This is only week 2. Like, this is insane. And these are all elite. These are all, sorry to interrupt you one last time. These are all people that you primarily draft in the first 5 to 6 rounds.
Correct. Minimum. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I agree. DJ Chark, IR, he'll be back week 6 with his hip injury. St. Brown is also questionable. Most likely they said he's going to play, but that's another big one. You need to keep your eye on lower leg injury. So like, you know, these wide receivers, man, you have to keep an eye, like Matt said, man, especially in sleepers, maybe have a backup kind of, you know, Williams or somebody in the back ready to rock, or whoever you want to fill them in, you know what I mean, on your roster.
Yeah.
So that is our long, lengthy report of injuries.
You're hanging a breather, man. Good job. So, I mean, there easily could be a team that drafted or a manager that drafted 5 of these players that we just showcased, because some of them, depending on which round you got them in, or later pickups, you know. So you could easily have half your team is basically an IR. Evan Engram is probably a later pick, 8th round, 7th round pick, maybe even later, depending on your league. You know, you've got obviously CMC 101, the curse of the 101. Let's just talk about that. CMC.
I hate that pick. I literally do not like, anytime anyone says point you to a 101, not for me, bro. I would trade it if I could. Sometimes I can't, but no good, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's nuts that like he was out, you know, had this issue at the beginning of the season. They rolled him out week 1 late, you know, and then also everybody's scrambling. And then he got, throwing an IR. So you're talking, like you said, week 7. So that's almost half the fantasy football season, which is kind of insane for a 101 pick. You know, I had, you know, and then what was it? I think it was 2021 and 2022. He was also the 101 picks too. And both those seasons he got injured. One, he was out for 12 weeks. The other one, he was out for like 5 or 6 weeks as well. So CMC it's at really the 101 crazy. is not a good sign. It's not funny for most people. So it just sucks that like he's consistently the one who's hampered. Crazy. So, all right, Pat, we got a lot to get into. We're going to hit studs and turds, as we called them last time. You know, we'll rip through a lot of these, kind of go back and forth, Pat and I. Not as many turds as far as like high-end elite players. You know, when we want to call it turds, we want to call it the people that you're really relying on that really did not show up. There's a few major ones that we need to talk about, Pat, in length of how concerned we really are at the end of the day, because there's some people that have shown up now twice on this list. You know, once in week 1 and then now in week 2, you know, so at what point do you hit the panic meter? At what point are you really freaking out and going for somebody different? Well, so I'll kind of hit on some of those. And then at the very end, Pat, we're going to roll through and talk about some quick pickups. Not any major ones that you got to spend your whole entire fab on like Mason was last week, but definitely some notable guys we're talking about that definitely should know about, especially if you've got, again, we just talked about it. You could easily have 4 or 5 players that are currently in IR or currently out for a couple of weeks, and you need to find replacements. So even if they're not necessarily the elite high-end Mason replacements, you may need somebody to fill your lineup at some point. So we'll have a couple for you. Pat, let's get in our Zen happy mode for now, man. Let's talk good shit. Let's talk about like some studs. Because there was a lot, dude. I feel like week 1, as much as disappointed, week 2, There are some repeat guys on this list, the studs, but then there are some new guys that just balled the hell out. So who do you want to hit first, man?
I'm gonna go
hit a couple. You want to hit a couple?
Let's go with the major upset. I'm gonna go with the Raiders. I'm gonna take Davante Adams, bro, with that major upset down over there in the good old Baltimore.
Oh my gosh, Baltimore 0-2.
Major, bro. That's big.
That's crazy, dude.
Davante Adams, bro. Nine receptions for 110 yards, 1 touchdown, dude. Super smooth game. That looked like the old Davante of known, bro. He looked phenomenal, bro.
Yeah.
And that game was great. I watched a lot of that game also. So that was an awesome game to watch, bro. How they came back and won, man. Good for them, man.
Well, and you have Gardner Minshew, man, slinging it. You know, like, doesn't look like he's going to lose his job anytime soon. We initially talked about at the beginning of the season, Aiden O'Connell might be the quarterback there after a couple weeks, but. You know, you have. I think
Gardner's
team. They're 2-0 now.
Yeah,
the Raiders. I mean,
and they're and I was like looking at a couple things. What they got? They have their next 3 stats. Then week 3 they play the Panthers.
Yeah, hit the stats, man. Week. Let's go.
Yeah, week 3 Panthers win.
Oh, it should be
week four the Browns should be a win. Week 5 Broncos should be a win. Steelers should be a win, and then the Rams. So they have even if they went 4 out of 5. I mean, that's what I'm looking at.
They'd be 6-1.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's phenomenal what they got coming up. I mean, I'm cool with that.
Considering that, like, where people expected them at the beginning of the year, like, nobody expected, you know, we're talking about how bad that offense is. And I'm not saying that, you know, the run game is really atrocious in Vegas. So that's definitely not a highlight by any means. But, you know,
they were saying they're trying to get, what's his name? Zamir White, right?
Zamir White, yeah.
They're trying to get him. Pierce was trying to say that they're going to get him back into it. They're trying to help him out in the role and help provide more for the team. I read it today. He had a interview with some of the, you know, like the press today. So we'll see if that comes to fruition, because I can use it because I have him.
Cut out a little bit there, Pat. Towards, I'm not really sure. I mean, Zamir White's been kind of disappointing. I mean, but they're also not running the ball a lot. I mean, if you look at the game last week, I mean, they had 38 pass attempts and only 17 rushes. I mean, so that's probably what you're referring to. They're probably going to try to balance it a little bit more.
They want to give him the ball. They're trying to help him out in the run game, balance it out, for sure, they were saying.
Alexander Mattison did nothing, so it looks like it is Zamir White's backfield. You hope that they're going to do something to balance it out, because 38 Gardner Minshew passes and only 17 total rushes is not really they're obviously winning, or they're 1-1. I said they're 2-0, my bad. They're 1-1. So it's not a complete, you know, thing for success when you have Gardner Minshew slinging the ball as much as they did. But I guess with Baltimore, they probably felt like they had to just to keep up with them, and it worked. So props to them. Baltimore's 0-2. So
yeah, man. Love it.
I like your first one, man. So do you want me to hit, why don't you do a couple more? Why don't you do two?
All right.
Do
one more. So I'm going to go with someone that is the number two quarterback currently in the league in fantasy through two weeks. And Derek Carr.
Derek what?
He's got got 44.1 points in 2 weeks. He threw for 11 for 16, 243, two touchdowns, one interception. And he is proving to be the old Derek Carr of late. So, man, I like it. And it's real.
No, I love it, man, because we talked about him in week one, man. We talked about old man Carr saying, hold my fucking beer, because everybody kind of talked over him, doesn't think, you know, thinks he's a QB, whatever, 20, you know, nothing, you know, big. And here he is, he just balled out week one. Pretty much the highest scoring offense in the league, man. I mean, balled out week two.
Absolutely phenomenal, bro. Absolutely phenomenal.
And I mean, going with him, Alvin Kamara, man. I mean, it's like old Saints, man. They're just coming back and they're rolling through. They're like, how old are you? All right, cool. You know, get off your wheelchair, put down your cane, give Alvin Kamara 20 carries for 115 yards, dude, in three touchdowns. With two receptions, 65 yards, and one touchdown on the receiving end. Four total touchdowns for Alvin Kamara. Wow. Nobody expected this coming. I mean, offense is going to be okay, but like nobody expected what they're doing. I mean, it's insane, man. The offensive coordinator they have there is obviously like crushing it. So what do you got?
I was going to say, because like, so you got, you know, Derek Carr is the second number two quarterback right now in fantasy, and Alvin Kamara is the number one running back in fantasy, leading at 62.5 points total so far for the year. So it's like it's real. Like they're working in like, you know, unison together. So you could really see how this is really getting put together.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impressive, dude. I mean, it's pretty impressive as far as, you know, I'm concerned. I mean, to your point, I mean, nobody, I think, expected it, you know, and that's what I think makes it even crazier. I want to highlight one other person, another running back while we're on running backs. He's somebody who crushed it last week. I was actually on, for anybody that's listening to this podcast, I'll listen to the Start Shit Show on Sunday morning. I was on that morning, and one of the call-outs or one of the questions was about J.K. Dobbins and whether or not you should start him. I think it was, I forget exactly what the question was, but I was like, wheels up J.K. Dobbins. I got faith in him. They're going to give him the rock. That was my call, and I think a couple of the other, like Eric had gone a different route there. I think there's four players to choose from. But mine, I highlighted J.K., effing Dobbins, and he did not let down. 17 carries, 131 yards, one touchdown. He said, hold my beer. Everybody doubts me. Let's go. All right, there's a theme here, man, where these old people, Davante Adams too, you could throw him in the old person theme too, where it's like, wow, dude, just like showing up, balling out, you know, showing everybody that they still got stuff left in the tank, and crushing it, you know, and Yeah, impressive, man. Offense kicked off in second gear. I mean, again, it's been through 2 weeks. It's been majority through the running game for all offenses that have kind of taken off. But still, impressive nonetheless. J.K. Dobbins, you go.
Yeah, man. And I'm going to say, you know, Jim Harbaugh, I'm giving a lot of credit with him too, because he's changing that right around, man. He's like, you know, I'm going to bring
the offensive line to
it. Yeah, yep. Like this, you know, it's a nice, you know, uniform, but they're putting together, and I like it, man. I think, you know, it's working. Whatever it is, yeah. I mean, Justin Herbert isn't slinging the ball. He only had 130 yards for 2 touchdowns. And
he's been injured too.
Yeah, he's got an issue, you know, with his planting foot. So, I mean, hey, it is what it is. But they're still making it work, and they smoked the Panthers. I mean, everyone's smoking the Panthers. You could probably do it too, Matt. We get to high school team.
I don't know, 5'8". I don't know if that's going to work, but I appreciate the compliment. Appreciate it.
You could do something out there. I have confidence in you. But so I'm going to switch it off. We're going to go on the East Coast on this next one. And
I thought you were going to go dirty there for a second.
No, I'm going East Coast. Baker Mayfield, number one quarterback through 2 weeks. He's got about 49.4 points. Dude, I love it, man. Like I picked him up last week. I said, you know what? Let me buy in now. He was on that waiver, and I took my own advice. 12 for 19, 185. One touchdown, but he's just like a team leader. He has a lot of people rallying him. And look, man, they beat Detroit. They don't have the best defense, but dude, this is big for the NFC, man. Like, they're just slowly climbing the ladder. They're 2-0. I'm not saying it's like, oh my God, but
it is, oh my God. I'm going to jump in, Pat, because like, it is, oh my God, because last year everybody was like, oh, they didn't see this coming. Baker gets the bag during the offseason. They have faith in him. They give him a contract. They pay him. And guess what? He shows up and does the same thing. I mean, 185 yards isn't, you know, right home, you know, it's not like anything to kind of like go crazy about, but that off is streaming along. You know, he still had a touchdown. He still has a fantasy points to go with it. So, yeah, you know, don't mean to cut you off, man. I apologize. It's just like,
it's cool.
Like, he's just carrying over what he did last year, dude. It's like the same old shit. You know, he hasn't skipped a beat. He's got two great wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on one. I put him as a stud this week again. Like Chris Godwin looking great, bro. 7 receptions for 117, 1 touchdown. Absolute phenomenally solid game. Like that's a nice wide receiver one right there.
Yeah.
Love it. So like I said, they're all in unison, bro. So I love it, bro. And by the way, Chris Godwin's the number one wide receiver in fantasy right now. Just so you know.
I love it, man. I love it. Yeah. Facts. I love facts. I'm gonna stink it up a little bit, man, because these two guys, you know, one was the QB1, if not worse, QB2 drafted, regardless of what format, regardless of when you drafted them this offseason or start up or redraft, whatever. So one is a QB1 or QB2, it's projected to be. The other one is meant to be tight end one, at worst tight end two behind Laporta, which we'll talk about that guy in a second. But, dude, what is going on in KC with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce? So,
gross.
Little known fact, I'm just going to go through some stats for Patrick Mahomes. So, week one, 16.64 points, fantasy points scored. That was, I believe, when I took it off, was 4-point passing game. Or no, I'm sorry, that was actually a 6-point passing. 6-point passing touchdown league. So, not 6-point passing. This week, week two, 16.94. Playing against, you know, Cincinnati, who you'd think would be a shootout. You know, they got to keep up with each other. But both of them under 17 points. Well, looked it up. He hasn't hit 20 fantasy points, Pat, in guess how many weeks? Guess how many weeks it's been? If you go back 13, to last year.
13 weeks.
13 weeks? No, you should overshot it a little bit, but close. He hasn't hit 20 fantasy points in 7 weeks.
Wow.
In 7 weeks. For a QB1? For the QB1. Yeah. Not even hitting 20 fantasy points. That is like, that's scary as shit, bro. Like, because you didn't draft him to score you 17 points. You drafted him to score you 25, 30 points, maybe 35 points. That's why you drafted Patrick Mahomes as QB1. Not to get you 17 points or lower, and definitely not to get you under 20 points for the past 7 weeks that he's been playing. That goes all the way back to last year, not including the actual playoffs. That's just the actual fantasy weeks that he can produce. 7 weeks, look it up. 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. So last week he was 18 of 25, only 155 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, which sounds great, the 2 touchdowns, but oh, guess what? Also, your Cincinnati defense picked him off twice.
Yeah, man. What not a beautiful, beautiful one-handed.
One-handed grab.
Oh, my God. It looks so damn good.
Dude, that was sick. I saw a replay a couple of times. It was really good. Oh, my God. It was really good. Loved it. Who is the player? Him. I don't remember the guy off the top of my head. He's your, that's your team. You got to know this.
It's Cam Taylor-Britt.
Okay. All right. You good call. You pulled out my your man, ass. I like it. I thought I was going to throw you off by throwing
a curveball. Man. I know.
I like to throw back curveballs, which you guys can't see. Sometimes I can see him squirming on the fish hook, and then he gets it. He usually gets it. Sometimes he doesn't, but 90% of the time he gets it. So I got to give him props, man. He worked under heat and under pressure. But let me finish up real quick, Pat, with Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he's Batman and Robin over there.
I got to say this. One reception off of three targets. Now, granted, Patrick Mahomes only threw, what did I say? He only threw 25 passes. But still, only three of them are going to Travis Kelce out of 25?
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's like 1/8 of the passing is going to him, which from another perspective, it should probably be like, if you're throwing 25 passes, he should probably get 6 out of those that go to him, or 5 at least. But anyways, he's caught one for a whopping 5 yards, Pat.
Yeah, that's
in a PPR fantasy, that's 1.5 points for Travis fucking Kelce, who you drafted as your tight end 1, at worst your tight end 2, probably in the 4th round or 3rd round. Yeah. And he gave you 1.5 points.
Gross.
That is insane. So what the hell's going on? How concerned are you about Kansas City right about now, dude?
The referees like to work with them, and you know Jim Nance like them, and here Tim and Tony Romo. They're like,
Cincinnati, you know, Homer here.
Like, hey Pat, can I help you with that? Like, yo, get out of here, bro. Every time, it's the same calls. The pass interference, like, listen, don't get me hot. I was really pissed the fuck off yesterday with that one. So, look, I think they're just
squealing. This is what I know not to pick on Pat too much, because he'll start to really get pissed off. So this is where I back off.
It's not right because they just get the calls, man. I watched the
whole thing. I've heard a lot of people bitching about it, though.
It was unfair, bro. The pass interference call basically won them the game. They called on the Bengals, and it was a basic jump ball. It was nothing. No one was being stripped or held down or arm
bar. Yeah, everybody's going for the ball. Regular opportunity to go for the ball. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, we're home. We're in Kansas City. We got to do it. You know, we got to follow the script. We got to keep, you know, making this interesting. So they did. And then we lost by one. But mind you, also McPherson also mixed a field goal, which he never does. So that was the point right there. It could have been tied. So there's two factors in that. And, it is what it is, man. But I think Kansas City, you know, now Pacheco's out, they definitely have something to worry about, I think. I think they got to be like, wow, you know.
Or they can go back to the passing game.
Like, yeah, like, we're getting older. We got to make some moves. Like, what are we doing? You got some, you know, guys here. But, you know, not for nothing, man. Mahomes does not look as great. Kelce just wants to be with Taylor Swift. I mean, it's just, you could see what it's not the same team, dude. I'm telling you. I really hope that they don't script it to give him a three-peat, because that's the way they want it. That's all.
Yeah, don't play. Don't play conspiracy theories. Come on.
I am on that one.
Yeah, no, we're not.
After yesterday, yes,
you can do that. You can do that in another stream. We don't do that here. but yeah, it may look like it from a Cincinnati Bengal homer. Fine, you can have that. But I will say, I mean, you got to look at Rashee Rice. You got Rashee Rice, who obviously is taking away targets. You've got Xavier Worthy, who's new to the game. Who up until, I mean, your Cincinnati D shut his ass down, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And then you've got obviously Travis Kelce, then you've got Pacheco, who's been doing really well. So I think it's just like they'd found a different, you know, they'd found a different gear where, like, maybe they didn't need to rely on the pass as much. But now that Pacheco is out, that's kind of where my question went back to you, is like, now that with him out, does this actually open up, you know, them trying to pass more and putting it back on Patrick Mahomes' hand and throwing, you know, 35 passes per game, you know, and seeing what he can do with that instead of 25 or 40 passes a game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, and it's crazy because they were talking junk to Worthy that, you know, they're going to lock him down. And they did as they said, by the way. Two for 17. They're like, all right.
That's how I was throwing it to you. Yeah, your defense.
Oh, 100%. They called it out and they did it, you know. Rashee Rice looks good.
It's also a rookie, too, though. I mean, you're like talking shit about a rookie. It's like, of course you could probably shut him down.
Listen, they just don't like props each other. That's all this is, man. They showed what they have. So, they won. Right. It is what it is. I hope we see them in the playoffs, and then we'll do it again. That's all.
That's what really counts, right? Whoop the ass in the playoffs. Let's go. All right, man. What do you got?
So I'm going to go with the guy that's been screwing me for 2 weeks straight, and that's Dalton Kincaid. I am getting tired of it, bro. Like, dude, I'm like,
oh my God, dude.
I had such faith in this gentleman, and like, is this the guy? Is this what everyone, you know, like,
the hype and this and that.
Dude,
but Diggs got it. Was like, he could be the direct replacement. Well, not the direct, because obviously he's a tight end, but I mean, he could get a lot of those targets, or at least half of those. And he's just like, where has he been? What you got for stats, man?
Four catches for 33 yards. There's nothing there, man. It's just very like vanilla, plain. There's nothing. Like I said, but you've touched on earlier, they are not throwing, a lot of people are just not throwing the ball as much. The running games have been stepped up. Like, James Cook had a phenomenal game again. So, you know,
why did you hit James Cook?
Right into it. Basically, James Cook is 11 carries for 78 yards, two touchdowns. So it's pretty big, you know?
Well, and I'm going to go back to, so on the passing front, so Josh Allen, when you talked about passing, you know, again, only 19 attempts from a passing perspective for Josh Allen, and 13 of them completed for 139 yards, one touchdown. That's it. That's his passing stats. 139 yards, dude, one touchdown. I mean, he should be on our turd list too, but we kind of ran out of room because there's a lot of people we got to talk about on the turd list. So, I mean, when you only complete 13 passes, then of course the tight end's only going to get four of them. That's a quarter of it. You know, that's a quarter of your passing or your completions going to your tight end, which makes sense. You know, 25% of the targets, which makes a complete amount of sense. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Yeah, I'll hit up a couple more. You keep going. James Cook was yours, so I'm going to jump in. I'm gonna go another running back, man. Again, running backs are dominant this year. Cannot overstate this guy. Although he did get 32 carries, so it's kind of crazy. The game script was a little funky given the fact that like who was at quarterback. Malik Willis was obviously not going to be throwing it around the yard, but they just gave the rock to Josh Jacobs over and over and over again. 32 carries, 151 yards, which, you know, if you break it down, not that great yard per carry. But at the end of the day, you still got your 151 points. Did not score a touchdown. But that Indianapolis defensive front does not look good. So anybody who goes up against Indianapolis as far as running back, this is the second week in a row that they've just got trucked and run all over. Again, 32 carries kind of outweighs, you know, the fact that it's 151 yards. But can't deny it. I was watching this game because I, again, live in the Milwaukee area. So I get the game here. And it looked painful to watch Indianapolis Colts giving like 6 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards a chunk, you know, 10 yards. It was like every play, I think at one point, Pat had a step out. If anybody's listening or whoever's listening, Pat had a step out. He had technical difficulties. He's going to have to jump back on here in a second. So I'm just going to ramble. But anybody who was watching the game or kind of heard the commentator, they made at one point, they were saying that they're giving up, the Indianapolis Colts defense is giving up 10 yards. I think it was in the first quarter and a half. I think they gave up 10 yards per play to the Green Bay offense, which is kind of insane. Considering that Malik Willis is a fucking quarterback. But I mean, dude, crazy nonetheless. But Josh Jacobs, with his 32 carries, did get 151 yards, and it's got to be talked about. So they're going to be utilizing him a lot. I think that's what was proven in this offense of Malik Willis. They're not going to trust Malik Willis to throw the ball. So I could easily see Josh Jacobs having 20, 25 carries a game. 32, I think, is, you know, the extreme, Pat, but, you know, I think at least 20 to 25, and Pat is back, technical difficulties figured out. Welcome back, Pat. I can at least see Josh Jacobs getting 20 to 25 at least until Jordan Love comes back, being a bell cow running back.
Dude, it's going to be a run heavy for a long time. He just got to stay healthy. That's what it's going to come down to.
Well, that's going to be the question now is, like, is this going to run him into the ground? So, anyways,
hopefully.
I kind of want to hit on a turd that might make you a little upset because his jersey's behind you.
Yeah, sure. Hit him. He is a turd with a bad attitude.
Ja'Marr Chase, man. I mean, Joe Burrow actually had a decent game. We talked about this before he jumped on. He wasn't in our studs because we just think he had a good game. He didn't have a great game. Pull up the stats, Pat, for Burrow while I'm going through Chase. But this is 2 weeks in a row now. Dude, you bitched about a fucking contract. You whine the whole offseason, even though you have two more years still on your contract. Then you come in here, you lay a fucking dog shit egg last week. And then week two, you have five targets. You only catch four of them for 35 yards against the elite Kansas City, who you should be rubbing it in their faces and dominating. Not dominating them in the sense of like you're just going to get every yard you want. But, I mean, you should be balling out because it's that heat of a rivalry. And you show up at 35 yards as an elite wide receiver one.
And not for nothing, you want to get paid, bro. You should be like, all right, I'm going to show you why I, you know, I want this.
Where's your pacifier, bro? Stick your pacifier in your mouth and keep fucking whining.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? And then perform.
His attitude was shit. He got a bad, unsportsmanlike conduct, caused another 15 yards. It was just like a bad show for him in general Sunday.
I heard even on the sidelines, he was like bitching about shit too.
Yeah, him and Burrow went at it on the field. Yeah,
and then him and the coach, I heard it was him and the coach and him and Burrow, and then he was yelling at somebody else afterwards. It was like he was going from like one person to another person, like yelling at him.
Let me tell you something right now, man. The way it's headed and the way he's going, I'm like, they're not going to pay you this season, and you act up the way that you are. You're not going to
want you here.
They're not going to be like, dude, Justin Jefferson's going to be like the highest paid and he wanted that. You're not even going to come remotely closely to it. And you know what they're going to do? They'll keep T. Higgins. Watch. I can see something like that. But
I can see that too.
Go ahead. We'll hold you for another year. We'll let you go when you're done. You want
to? They can also franchise tag him. They can actually hold him for two more years after this one.
Go ahead. Screw him that way. I mean, it just sucks, bro. Like, I love the guy. I do. I'm a huge fan. Get it?
No, he's a monster, dude. But like, stop being a baby, dude. Man up.
Prima donna, bro. You can't be like.
Put your goddamn jock strap on, ball out, and be the chase, and just shut up and play.
Yeah.
And so, I hate people that say that. Like, I'm gonna interject for one second. I hate people that actually say shut up and play because, like, I'm not an elite wide receiver or in the NFL, and I don't mean it in that sense. I just mean it in the sense of like. Dude, you want a contract? Show you deserve that contract. Last year, you're injured half the year. We talked about this too. He came in after being injured for half of last year, and he was demanding a contract. Well, you're injured half of last year, so you couldn't even put up numbers. So now you want for half the season to be paid, even though you've only played a year and a half in the league, and you want to get monster paycheck? Play, dude.
It's like you're comparing yourself to Justin Jefferson, but Justin Jefferson put up the numbers, and he deserved
it. Consistently.
Yeah, and he's working with way less than what Jamar is with Burrow and his team. The Vikings and the Bengals are two like apples and oranges. So, you know, he got what he deserved, and he's not there yet, and he's going to deal with it. That's all.
Sorry, I got heated for that. I got heated for you for that one, man.
I'm with it, bro. Listen, I might be a homer, but I got to be a realist at the same time.
You got to be a realist, dude. Especially if you're asking for that much money. You want to be the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. Like, show it.
Yeah, no, that's we can't have that, bro. So I'm gonna go on a good note right now because I want to stay positive on this amazing day and make everyone smile. So I have two gentlemen that I like, and I've been talking to Matt about this. I drafted them in a few places. I have JSN.
In one of them, you have been, not both of them.
Yeah. JSN. Yeah. I have more stock in than DK Metcalf, and JSN went 12 at 117 yards. DK had 10 receptions for 129, one touchdown, dude. Geno slinging the ball looked phenomenal.
Geno looking good again.
Good for him. Good. You know, and he's got two elite wide receivers. And I told you, JSN will be surpassing Lockett, his old ass. And this is going to be the 1-2 combo coming up. So get used to seeing that. I think JSN, he just took off and the wheels are rolling.
What about DK?
I mean, hey.
What about DK?
Oh, DK?
Did you say DK? Did I miss that part?
He's still a monster, bro. The guy is just a freak of nature when you look at him playing and where he jumps and how he grabs the ball and how aggressive he is. So that's the 1-2 combo for Seattle Seahawks, dude. I love it. Yeah. Can't go wrong with either of them.
Dude. And they dominate. I mean, granted, it's New England Patriots, but Geno Smith, talking about him, man, he should be in a baller. We just got a group of these guys together. So granted, he threw it 44 times. They only ran at 19. So Geno Smith had 33 completions for 327 yards. In one touchdown.
Love it, dude. It's great.
That's old. That's like last year's Geno Smith, man. And then, or no, 2 years ago, Geno Smith, I should say. Sorry. Last year, he sucked. Everybody's like, where the hell did Geno Smith go? But yeah, dude, balled out, man. It is easily 1-2 combination in that offense with DK receiving, that is, for DK Metcalf and JSN. And actually, the running game hasn't, I mean, we talked
the
about
same thing. I was just going to say, they got like a, you know, even though Walker's out right now, Zach Charbonnet did okay. He did what he had to do.
He did okay. He had 37 yards. 38 yards, sorry.
They still got the touchdown. He got in, which is a big help. So that was part of it. And, you know, with such an elite wide receiving core, he doesn't have to rely on the run as much with his second back. So it worked out pretty sweet. I mean, I thought it was a great game, and they beat him in overtime.
Definitely a great game. Seahawks are back, man, 2-0. It's so insane. It's so weird. Like, again, going back to the Baltimore Ravens 0-2, the Cincinnati Bengals, sorry not to rub it in, Pat, are 0-2. Yep, 0-2. You kind of look at, like, teams that are supposed to be in the top of their division are struggling, and teams that we didn't see coming are, like, destroying people, you know, nowadays. So it's been such a weird season. You know,
I love it. Only week two.
It's only week two. It's like somebody taking those snow globes and just shaking that shit up, just like watch the chaos ensue and watch the snowballs just kind of go all over the place. That's what it reminds me of, man. I'm going to go to Monday Night Football.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to a guy that I was touting a lot in the offseason for redraft. And new to the team, there's actually a few new pieces to the Atlanta Falcons, but this wide receiver in general did not look good last year when he was with Chicago. 2 years prior, when he was a rookie, he looked elite. He was almost a wide receiver one, if I remember, like a back-end wide receiver one. Maybe I think he was wide receiver 15 for the season. He did amazing as a wide receiver two in the Chicago offense at the time. When he came here with Kirk Cousins, Kirk O'Chains throwing in the ball, you know, I was thinking with Bijan, I was like, oh, you know, he's got Drake London. They've obviously got Kyle Pitts. That could easily give room for Darnell Mooney to be a wide receiver two, or, you know, wide receiver, we'll just call him a high-end wide receiver three in fantasy. Maybe, if he's lucky, a wide receiver two, low-end wide receiver two to boot. And Monday Night Football did not let it down. Kirk O'Chains finally showed up, although he still looked really rusty. He didn't really move a lot in the backfield, Pat. He kind of looked like he was very hesitant to drop back and even step forward, Kirk Cousins, that is. But at the end of the day, Darnell Mooney had seven targets, tied the receiving core with seven targets with Drake London. He hauled in only three of them, but he had 88 yards and one touchdown along with 41 yards. And I don't know, you must have seen that, Pat, the move that he put on once he caught that ball and did a little shaking bake, dude. I mean, Darnell Mooney, people gave him shit for how bad he was last year.
Looked good to me.
He looked really good. And if he can keep getting the targets, I mean, think about, so he was three receptions, 88 yards. Think about if he caught five. He could have over 100 yards, maybe even 120.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just to kind of throw this out there, too. This past week, guess what he finished as his wide receiver number? Just throw a wild number out there.
Seven.
Higher than I was expecting you to throw, but wide receiver 18.
Okay.
So he's middle wide receiver, too. That's smack in the middle wide receiver, too, for your offense, for fantasy. Which is what we talked about. I know you're high on him too in the off season. So it's kind of what we talked about. Like, we feel like this is the high, maybe this is the high, but the floor I don't think is lower than a wide receiver three, middle wide receiver three. I think he easily can be, as long as Atlanta keeps doing the offense like they had been doing, you know, the running the ball, so it keeps the defense in line so they can't just cover the wide receivers. Between Drake Lund and Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney. They can't cover all three wide receivers, so one is going to be open. So I see this, as long as this offense can keep going in stride. And even Kirk Cousins said yesterday after the game, they interviewed him, and he said, hey, look, you know, I'm still getting back to, like, getting the rust off. He's like, I'm still figuring this out. We've got a lot of new players here that I'm trying to get used to. He's new to Atlanta, Kirk Cousins is. Darnell Mooney's new. For Kirk Cousins, everybody in the offense is new to him. He doesn't know exactly where they're going to be at all times. He didn't play at all during the offseason, didn't play any preseason game, Kirk Cousins. So he's still trying to get used to a lot of this game and the speed and how the play calls are called in, like, you know, what to expect from the offense and all that other shit that comes with it. So I could see this offense taking off very shortly, and I could easily see Darnell Mooney remaining a wide receiver too, as long as this offense keeps going and keeps hitting stride as well as it is. What do you think about that, Pat?
I like it. Drake London had the, you know, game-winning touchdown yesterday. I watched the game. It was great.
Dude, 53 – was it like 53 seconds left? No, 36, yeah. I think, seconds
They
left.
Ran down the field in a minute and change, and they –
It wasn't even a minute, dude. It was like
under. Yeah, it was fast as hell, and I'm like, there it is. And in London, without that touchdown, wouldn't have been like just an – it wasn't anything special. But
yeah, fair.
That, I think Kyle Pitts is a bust again. I'll tell you straight up, I'm not thrilled with him the way it's going. You know, make or break year, and I'm like, all right, whatever. But I think Mooney can definitely a nice clear number two with London on the other side for sure.
Hell yeah.
And then Bijan was a monster catching out of the backfield and running anyway, so it works. Yeah. It just works really well.
Yeah, that offense looks when they're hitting their stride and they hit it towards the end of the game, they looked really good. So
look clean. So I'm gonna go out West Coast and I'm gonna go with another bird, but this one's gonna be a beautiful red cardinal because I could touch on a few people in this one.
This is nuts.
So I'm gonna start with him at the top. We're gonna go with Kyler Murray, bro. Had a great game. 17 for 21, 266, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's phenomenal. He's currently right now number 4 through 2 weeks. If you think about it, you have Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, and Lamar Jackson. If I would have told you those are your top 5 quarterbacks through 2 weeks, you would nobody would call that out. Nobody.
Dude, well, you know how much you'd have to bet? Like that'd probably like a 1 in 1 million like payout. Ridiculous. If you could have had that exact
order.
Put
Baker Field number one and Carr number two.
If that would have been like a what? Fucking that would have been like a what a ten, no, 10 million no. to one payout.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, I mean Jalen Hurts. I expect Lamar. Okay, and then Kyler. Yeah, but those other two. It's like, where is everybody else? So yes, Kyler Murray, phenomenal game. You know, he was on stride. That game was over before halftime anyway, so it was great.
Yeah.
James Conner looked great. 21 carries, 122, one touchdown. That's not bad. The guy that we were all complaining about week one, where was he? They found him. 4 giant receptions out of 8 targets, 130, 2 TDs. Marvin Harrison Jr., welcome to the NFL. That was his welcome game, and it looked great. I was very happy for him.
I gotta ring my own bell and toot my own horn, however you want to look at it. But again, going back to when we were doing the live stream on Sunday morning and we were doing the start shit. And at the very beginning of the show, you can look at it. I think I texted to you, Pat, it was like in the 5-minute mark. It was within the first like few minutes of the show. If you look at the very beginning of the show, Eric starts off the show by asking, who's the stud, your stud of the week? Not even of like, you know, by position, by whatever. I wasn't expecting the question, I'll just be honest. So first thing that popped in my head was Marvin Harrison Jr. And I was like, all right, boom. Okay. And then I think the other two that were called out were quarterbacks, which fair enough. I mean, as they were saying quarterbacks, I was like, I probably should have said a quarterback. But I think it was T-Rock. Yeah, like Patrick Mahomes. Well, T-Rock said Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, I would have said Patrick Mahomes too. Like, that, you know, in my head, I was like, that makes sense. And then I'm watching the stats and Marvin Harrison is balling out. And I was like, F yeah, you had to rewind it back to make sure that's exactly what I said. So if you want to check it out, go check the wax, pull up the Sunday show, the live show, start shit. Between 2 and 5 minutes in, Eric asked the question and my response is Marvin Harrison Jr. And bing, I will collect that money and collect that debt. Thank you very much.
There you go, bro. And then I just want to touch on one tight end that did satisfactory in my eyes. 6 receptions, 6 targets. He was perfect, caught everything. 67 yards, Trey McBride. So yeah, I had to give someone fair. At least some positivity in the Arizona, tight end realm. Yeah. So
it goes back to the Arizona offense, man. I mean, there's a lot of great in their offense. So as long as they can keep, you know, we talked about Atlanta here in a second ago. You know, these offenses have a lot of offensive firepower and fantasy firepower, for that matter, I should say.
For sure.
When they suck, everybody hurts. When they're good, everybody eats, right? And everybody gets to the table and gets their points and gets a score and is happy. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna go to one. You know, you're the half full. I'm usually the guy half full too, but I'm gonna go to the half empty glass. And I'm gonna go to an offense that should have a lot of firepower. It does have a lot of firepower and just laid an effing dud. So Jared Goff. And, you know, we're going to talk about Jared Goff and Sam Laporta together because oofta. Jared Goff, mind you, and you and I talked about this before the show. He had 307 yards. Sounds like a lot. Congratulations on 307 yards. But guess what? He threw 55 passes, Pat. 55. Yeah. We talked about this earlier. Patrick Mahomes only threw 25 passes. That was double what Patrick Mahomes threw. He only completed 34 of them for 307 yards. 0 touchdowns and a whopping 2 interceptions, which gave you, if you're in a fantasy league that has 4 points per passing touchdown, that only gave you 8.78 points for Jared Goff. That's under crazy. 9 points. That is insane. And dude, that's totally unacceptable, man. From a guy that has that many offensive weapons, you know, you've got Jahmyr Gibbs coming out of the backfield. You've got Dave Montgomery coming out of the backfield. You got, you know, Sam Laporta, let's talk about him. 2 receptions, 13 yards. What the F. Dude, 6 total receptions in 2 games for a whopping 58 yards. He doesn't even have 60 yards for the season yet in 2 games. That's 30, an average of 30 yards a game. Granted, he only had 13 yards this past game, so he had whatever the hell he had, 46 or 45 the game before. But Sam Laporta, I mean, tight end 1, if not tight end 2, behind Travis Kelce. Well, they can hang out in a fucking truck together and go drive themselves off a cliff, because like that's what they're doing to your team right now, where you drafted them. It kind of sucks, dude.
Yeah, I give you that. 100%. I have Laporta shares, and
everybody's excited about him.
Yeah, no, I can't, man. I'm gonna be starting Mr. Brock Bowers for sure next week, because Brock's at least
Brock the Beast Bowers. Brock the Beast Bowers, man. That dude looks dope.
Rock with him, man. So yeah, I agree with you on that. So you know, you went to the negative. I'm gonna throw one that I know and I feel super positive about, and it was Nico Collins, bro. This man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go, bro.
That's CJ's. You told you I'm a Houston guy this year.
I know. You said
Stroud went 260, 1 touchdown.
1 of 2.
Nico Collins, dude, 8 receptions out of 10 targets, 135, 1 touchdown. Dude, phenomenal game. Absolutely phenomenal again, dude. Love it.
Yeah.
Like, Nico's the man, bro. Like, I love watching him. Like, and Nico Collins is number 2. And wide receivers at 38.2 points, just below Mr. Chris Godwin. So looking solid, bro. I'm telling you, man, that CJ Stroud's shiny toy. He likes to see it play. Stephon Diggs is definitely the second fiddle, and Tank Dell is dropping. Sure. Tank Dell is definitely taking the back seat now, and he dropped some passes. Tank Dell did not play that good yesterday. I watched that game. He, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, damn, you know, I have shares with him in certain spots, but you know, Tank Dell had one reception, 4 targets for minus 3 yards. So that's where he is. He was on the bottom of the list. He was negative yardage. So for people taking Tank Dell where they did, they're absolutely sucking ass in wind right now. They are not happy, bro. That's all I could tell you, bro. Even Dalton Schultz had more than him. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, Xavier Hutchins had better. He had 1 target with no yards. So, I mean, that's better. I mean, -3.
Yeah.
And so, I love it. Nico Collins, clear where everyone's questioning it. Collins, Diggs, that is your 1-2. And then on the far 3 is Tank Dell.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Diggs, I think, is always good for, like, random touchdown here and there. I cannot wait, Pat, until Diggs starts getting really pissy about the fact that he's not getting the ball enough, and then he starts whining and pouting on the sidelines, and he starts throwing his helmet around.
Please don't.
You know he's going to do it, though. Man. You know he's going to do it, dude. I mean, it's Diggs. He can't. He cannot let somebody else get all the attention like Nico Collins is getting all the attention and not be a diva about it. So you know it's coming. So maybe just embrace for it. Wait for it to hit. Know the chaos is going to ensue. Then he's probably going to get 2 games where he's going to be babied, and they're just going to target him like 20 times in the 2 games, just to get him to shut the hell up, and then they'll go back to Nico Collins the next game after that.
Well, all right, touche. I like it. So, Matt, right. I think we got our studs and duds pretty solid.
I want to hit one more.
You want one more?
We're hitting one more. Because I got to throw this guy out here. Well, actually, I'm going to do a tandem, because on this team,
I know where you're going, so go ahead.
All right, I know you know where I'm going. Because everybody's touting this quarterback is like going to be QB5. People draft him like QB3, QB4.
And he got paid.
No, you're missing. You're missing the guy who I'm throwing in. I'm talking about.
I thought you were throwing someone that got paid and it sucks win.
No. Oh, no. Not yet. I know who you're going, but now you can hit him if you want to. I'm going after a second-year quarterback in Indianapolis.
Oh, there you go.
In offense, I've been saying he can't throw the ball with crap. He's not that good of a thrower. Maybe he can get there, but even in Florida, he was not that great of a passer. He had 1 good year at Florida. He's a big dude, and he can run people over. Kind of reminds me of Cam Newton, maybe. I don't know. Possibly put it out there. But Anthony Richardson, man, 17 completions out of 34 attempts, 204 yards. He did have 1 touchdown. Congratulations. But he also had 3 interceptions. QBR rating of 29.1. Pathetic. He then, you know, because everybody's saying he's got the rushing upside. Well, he had 4 runs for 37 yards, which is actually pretty decent considering it's 9.3 average per rush. But that's not going to save your game when he throws 3 interceptions and only completes 204 yards.
Yeah,
he looked horrible, dude. leading the wide receiver core, which we talked about last week too. Alec Pierce did it again, 7 targets. He tied with Michael Pittman, but he caught 5 out of the 7 for 56 yards and a touchdown, while Michael Pittman, which we could talk about him as being a turd, only caught 3 for 21 and no touchdowns. But lastly, I want to hit on a good thing, Pat. I do want to add on a good note. Jonathan Taylor is back. Yes. 12 carries, 103 yards. Unfortunately, did not get in the end zone. But then he also had 2 catches for 32 yards. So decent showing for him. Triple digits, so definitely wanted to give him some tout in that offense, which does not look good at all. They got manhandled by Green Bay. It'll be interesting because they've got the Bears next. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because the Bears defense, we talked about this coming in. Bears defense right now, for anybody who hasn't been in attention to the last podcast, I called it out as top 5 defense for the year to watch out for. Currently, they are number 2 behind Minnesota Vikings. So number 2 defense as far as points for fantasy. So check it out. Chicago Bears defense. Hopefully we'll have a field day next week against the struggling Indianapolis Colts at Indianapolis. And I could see Anthony Richardson throwing 2-3 interceptions and maybe a fumble in that game. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. That's all I got, Pat. I had to end on that.
That's okay. Listen, I'm cool with it. So, I mean, I think everyone should have a pretty solid idea who's up and who's down, the trending and where we're going. So I feel pretty satisfied. So now it is time to pick off the waiver wire. And it's not. So it's a thin list this week for sure. But clearly with Pacheco out, you have no choice but to either go for Carson Steele or Samaje Perine. Steele had more carries, you know what I mean? He out of the backfield this past weekend, he had 7 carries, 24 yards, nothing crazy. And Samaje didn't really carry the ball. He just was in more for like receiving because he has really good hands over there. So they're both going to should be available in almost every league, I would say, pretty much, unless, you know, somehow somebody had him.
They're also having Kareem Hunt come in for
that. So I mean, like I said, take that with a grain of salt for now, because he hasn't played in a while. So, but for right now, Carson Steele and Samaje Perine would definitely be like your top, so two of your top running backs coming tomorrow. Or, you know, this week for this waiver wire. And then go ahead, Matt. You can take your next guy, because I know who you want.
Well, I got to tell you, we already talked about him, Darnell Mooney. Yep. I don't think this is a fluke. As we've talked about, we talked about this in the offseason. We talked about it in our last podcast as well, or one of our first podcasts we did here. I believe this is podcast 7 or 8 for us now, Pat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been on it for a minute. So Darnell Mooney, Atlanta Falcons. If that offense can take off like it showed yesterday towards the end of the game, he could have huge value for picking him off the waiver wire, especially with all the injuries. I think he's worth a look. I would put some decent fab on him because I don't think it's a fluke personally. And like I said, it's something that I've been talking about, or we've been talking about, I should say, from the beginning at All In. So if you haven't known, now you know. And that's why you check in All In. What do you got, Pat?
Yeah, we love it. So I'm going to go help you out on the defensive side. I think you got to run with the hot hand with Tampa, looking pretty solid, 2-0. I like it, man. I think they're going to be a higher, you know, they're running strong, man. I really can't go wrong with what they got. So I'm going to definitely have to say, you got to take Tampa this coming week. I feel pretty confident with them. They're playing Denver. So I would take, if you need a defense.
No, Denver is brutal.
Yeah, they're brutal. So Tampa should be available. And then I'm going to go with Cincinnati. So those are my top 2 picks. They're playing the Commanders. So you should, you know, look into those guys, and they should be available in most leagues. So those are my 2 on the defensive side to help you out. And then Matt's going to take you home with 2.
I would have said normally the Raiders 2 to look at, but now that they're going away from, which we didn't talk about that too, the fact that Bryce Young is getting benched for the Red Rifle.
Andy Dalton.
I almost said Sam Dalton. Somebody that initially would have said the Las Vegas Raiders would have been somebody to pick up, and now that the Carolina Panthers are going with Andy Dalton, hold off on the Vegas Raiders until you see kind of how that shakes out with Dalton. Who knows? He might be slinging the rock all over the place. He's got weapons, so it's not worth looking at. But let's rip it. So quarterbacks, if you need some quarterbacks, you've got Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield. They should be available in majority of your leagues. Baker might have been picked up last week, just given the fact that he obviously had a really good year last year. And started out strong, so he might not be available. But if he is not, Derek Carr should be available in just about every league you got. And actually, I'm going to throw a third one in there. We talked about him a minute ago, Gardner Minshew. You know, yeah. Geno Smith, if you want a fourth one, throw that in there too. If you're really desperate, you know, if you've got Patrick Mahomes, he's let you down, or Jared Goff, or somebody who, or Anthony Richardson, and you're like starting to shit your pants with Anthony Richardson, and you want to kind of pivot a little bit, it's worth looking at one of those four quarterbacks.
Yeah, because Matt, if you really think about it, like you look through some of these teams and quarterbacks, like I'll run through it real quick, just helps some people out. Like, look, New England, not taking a quarterback. New York Jets, no. Barely going to use the quarterback. Giants, very, no. Cleveland, no. Highly doubt
Tennessee,
it.
Chicago,
Chicago, no. Minnesota, you could say yes now with Darnold. Yeah. That's another one that's available. Sam Darnold might Sam be Darnold. On the rise. But, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of these guys, like Pitt, no. Herbert looks like crap. He's not feeling right. That's a no. You know,
you said Denver, Andy Dalton, wait. Yep, Andy Dalton might be worth it, but wait a week. Wait a week.
You know, Tennessee, no. Green Bay,
Justin
no.
Fields, no.
You know, like, you're just looking through all these people. Miami, you don't know what's going to happen. So, that and it's that's a lot of question marks, man. Yeah. So, I'm just like, all right, you know. So, there's a lot of good ones that you can actually just be like, you know what? Throw this guy on the bench and give these guys a world. Especially with the matchups sit right. Why the hell not, right?
And here's also another thing, too. If you guys actually have active leagues where you're trading, it could be worth picking up. Putting a lot of fab on picking up a quarterback, even if you don't need him, for somebody who might need a quarterback, for somebody who is like really desperate now and is kind of freaking out. Same thing with the wide receiver and a running back. Again, those are probably positions where you have to make sure that you can trade and you get the value out of it. But if somebody needs a quarterback and is kind of struggling, and you pick up a quarterback off the waiver wire and take a risk on it, and then trying to flip that for maybe a running back that you might need, you know, that'll do better than, you know, taking a roll of the dice on a running back that's on the waiver wire. Also something to think about too. So don't just look at what you have, look at what people may need, what they have in their roster, and how you can maybe steal what they may need and then use that as influence to get a trade, to get something back from them that you can utilize. So it's not just what can you
do. Especially now, let them buy high, especially with some of these guys now. They're riding the hot hand and they need a quarterback. Like, all right, you need a quarterback, or are you looking for one? Here you go, bro. Just take advantage of it. Especially you have a decent starter on the other end too.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a wide receiver too. Give me a running back too, if that's what you need. Because otherwise, you're not going to use a quarterback, so it's worth it. So
yeah,
it's not just about your team. Yeah. All right, Pat. That's a big one, long one. Hit about an hour mark. What else you got, man?
Nothing, man. Just like I said, just, you know, a lot of still kind of got to keep your eye open, keep patient with something. It is only week two, but you know, things are starting to develop. You see the storylines of what's going on and where we're headed. But just keep an eye out, man. Just don't jump the gun on certain people. I still think there's a lot, but I after looking at 2 weeks, bro, I really feel like the Saints are here. They have a lot of motivation.
100%. I think it's one of the few things that's like actually locked into this. Saints in
Seattle. That's
the
storyline. And I think Baker Mayfield, dude, good for him, man. Let him, he's matured. I think this is his time to shine. Like, you know, he's got a great team with a great, you know, a great cast around them with great defense. So I'm happy with what I see, Matt. So those are my takes coming into this week three.
Hot takes, man. The waiver phone call, man. I love the who you're going to call. So, yeah, man, that was a great episode. Went a little bit over, so thanks for everybody listening through the whole entire thing. Like I said, if you want to hit us up on Instagram, you can get me at FantasyMattEFN. You can get Pat at CityStars136. If you want to ask us questions, if you want to ping us, DM us, whatever that is, I will be on the South Harmon feed on Sunday again for the Start Shit. I've signed up for the past, like, or I think for the next two episodes or three episodes, so... At least for the next two or three, you're going to get me until I have a really bad call that I might bounce for a little while. But all in all, man, I think at the Start Shit, we did really well. We were kind of pinging the Discord as the calls are coming through and as we were starting to get, you know, the good reads on like who was doing what. So tune in Sunday morning. It goes on an hour before kickoff. We go for about 50 minutes. So join us. Ask us any questions that you got, and we're happy to answer. Until next time, Pat. Peace. We're out. Peace.
Bye.